Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Michael Horowitz as my special expert guest. Dr. Horowitz graduated from the Canadian Memorial Chiropractic College in Toronto. His undergraduate studies in biology and kinesiology at York University emphasize fitness assessment and exercise counseling. After practicing in Ontario, he relocated to Vancouver, BC, where he worked with Biomed and Sisu Enterprises, specializing in natural health products and sports nutrition. Dr. Horowitz currently owns and manages Highcroft Family Chiropractic, Counseling and Massage, located in Vancouver, BC. Dr. Horowitz combines nutritional support, stress management techniques, soft tissue massage, and spinal adjustments towards the goal of freeing up stress to the spine and nervous system. He is a member of the BC Chiropractic Association, the Canadian Chiropractic Association, and the Canadian Chiropractic Preventive Agency. Dr. Horowitz is affiliated with Fitness World, the MS Society, the BC Lung Association, and a number of other local charities and organizations. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the studio and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update.
Hi, Corey. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Well, that's kind of a tongue twister, all those chiropractic agencies and organizations. Sounds like you're really involved with the program.
Well, it's important to support our associations because they work for us towards improving the awareness of chiropractic in British Columbia and across Canada.
Well, let's talk about chiropractic medicine for sure during this discussion. I know that I've always had an interest in what you do and what the field itself can offer to me as an athlete. Before we get into that, let's maybe talk about what motivated you on a personal level to actually become a chiropractor.
Sounds good. I was one of those kids as a teenager that put a lot of pressure on myself to find out what I wanted to do with my life, what my passion was. My father's a pharmacist, and so I had a really strong science background and found that I was really interested in the sciences. So in high school, I pushed myself volunteering at a dental office at the local hospital. And as I went through school and learned more about the human body, I started to realize that the human body is just this fascinating piece of machinery. And the more I learned about different forms of healthcare, I realized that there was a form of healthcare out there called chiropractic that focused on the body's inborn and innate healing ability and appreciated that, whereas a lot of the other forms of medicine don't really look at that. And then something great happened. I had a back injury when I was about 18 years old, sort of tongue-in-cheek. I hurt my back and I tried the conventional medicine route for physiotherapy and medicine, and about 3 months later, things were still pretty achy in the low back. And finally was talked into by an older sister to go to see a chiropractor, and I had incredible results with that. So it was very much about an appreciation of the approach of chiropractic, the professionalism, the education behind it, and the idea that when something's wrong in the body, it's extremely important to find the cause and the source of a problem as opposed to masking it up with perhaps a medication.
So if somebody wants to go into chiropractic medicine, what is the actual process? What is the science background that you need? How do you become a chiropractor?
To become a chiropractor, and there's only one chiropractic school in Canada. There's actually a second one in Trois-Rivières, Quebec, but the one is in Toronto. You need to have a minimum of 3 years of undergraduate studies. Now, it used to be that you needed science courses as a prerequisite. It's no longer like that. Now, all you really need is 3 years of undergraduate studies as a minimum.
And then you go into this specialized chiropractic training.
The application process involves a 30-minute interview with four different interviewers, seven essays, and then, of course, good grades. So it's quite a process for application, and they usually have close to 1,000 people applying a year with only able to accept 165 people.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's a demand for chiropractic medicine, obviously.
Especially in Canada, especially I've noticed in British Columbia, we're such a health-conscious province. A lot of students find it difficult to either get into the school back in Toronto or able to afford to be able to go to one of the schools in the States. There's about 15, 17 schools in the United States.
So let's talk about some of the history behind chiropractic medicine, and maybe you can tell us how chiropractic medicine actually works or give us an idea of some of the basic theory.
Sounds good. chiropractic medicine, very few people realize, was actually founded in Port Perry, Ontario, in 1895 by Daniel David Palmer. So chiropractic is 108 years old. Palmer was a keen observer of the human body, and he postulated that because of the intimate relationship of the spine and the nervous system, that if the spine lost its normal positioning and mobility, the nervous system would be directly affected by the resulting pressures or stresses. So over 108 years later, there are now 5,000 chiropractors across Canada, provincial licensing board in every province across Canada.
And how does that work? Because sometimes people go to a chiropractor and they have to pay for the full shot, and sometimes some of that's covered, or maybe it's different from province to province. How does the chiropractor work into the Canadian medical system?
Okay, so each province is different. As of January of 2002, MSP, a medical service plan in British Columbia, completely cut services for chiropractic, physiotherapy, and naturopathic medicine. So unfortunately, there's a lot of cuts happening in the medical system. Whereas in Ontario, there is still some coverage through what they call OHIP. A lot of patients have extended health benefits that will cover, if not all, perhaps 80% of chiropractic care. Other than that, for the most part, it's out-of-pocket spending for the consumer.
So it's obvious to me that whoever is involved in making these decisions doesn't see chiropractic or naturopathic medicine as an essential service. If they're cutting it out.
Well, it's. I wouldn't necessarily look at it like that. The way the healthcare system is spiraling, it's becoming more and more expensive, and the emphasis is perhaps in the wrong direction. Undoubtedly, the emphasis in our healthcare system is treatment of disease, not prevention of illness and disease. And that's one of the other reasons why I was very fascinated with chiropractic, is that a lot of the emphasis that I have with my patients is about preventing those small aches from becoming big ones. And if we put more of our resources towards that, then we would have a healthier society, and we would need to put less money towards healthcare and treatment of disease and disorder.
So the primary impact of chiropractic medicine is more directed, ideally, in terms of prevention as opposed to treatment after the fact.
That's correct. Realistically speaking, unfortunately, most people are motivated by that red flag that comes up, the pain, the discomfort. But the practice that I'm building, and the reason I called my office Highcroft Family Chiropractic as opposed to Highcroft Pain and Misery Clinic, is because I'm trying to create a community of well-adjusted spines and basically teach people the importance of taking early steps towards preventing their body from breaking down.
Now, I noticed that when you came into the studio today, you had a friend with you. That was your healthy, friendly spine.
That is.
Not yours personally. That was a friend of yours, actually.
Yes. I purchased him in first year of chiropractic school, and he's my spine. I take him just about everywhere. He's a passion for what I do.
So recognizing the anatomy and structure of the spine is part of it. A lot of people don't think in those terms, but if we really knew the importance and function of the vertebrae and how essential that is to wellness, maybe we might take chiropractic medicine more seriously.
It's amazing. We're taught at a young age how important it is to have our teeth taken care of, how important it is to brush and to floss. But very little emphasis is put towards the spine. Now, your spine can't be replaced. Spine is made up of 24 moving bones called vertebrae, and each vertebrae is supposed to have a certain position and motion, flexibility. And because of injuries, whether it be sports injuries, car accidents, falls, or more commonly, occupational stress or postural stress, we lose proper flexibility and mobility in the spine. The spine has three really important functions. The first one is posture. The second one is flexibility or mobility. And the third major function of the spine is it's the protector of the nervous system. And your nervous system controls and coordinates every single cell, tissue, and organ in the body. It allows us to communicate, coordinate, and adapt to our stressful environments.
Now, I'm thinking of posture, and I spend a lot of time sitting in front of a computer, and I know millions of people out there do as well. You probably do yourself. What kind of posture do you recommend? Like, how do we adjust our posture on a conscious level, and what kind of a chair do you recommend that we sit on in front of that computer?
Something called the 90-degree rule. Whenever you're sitting at a chair, wherever it be, You always want to make sure that your leg and your thigh are at 90 degree angles. You always want to make sure that your arm and your forearm are at 90 degree angles. Anything more, anything less can create compression, can create irritation, and can put you out of proper postural alignment. One way to change the angulation of the lower limb, the leg, is to have a chair that's adjustable, that you can either go higher or lower. You always want to make sure that your knee is at the level of your hip or slightly higher. You always want to make sure that your computer is set up in such a way that the monitor is right in front of you so that you don't have to twist, that you don't have to put undue stress onto the spine, and always make sure that there's good support of the forearms on the table in front of you.
Because it doesn't take much to really alter the function or damage the vertebrae. I know that I can go in the gym and deadlift and in a sterile, controlled manner lift a lot of weight. But then I can maybe turn and pick up a pencil and put my back out. So why is that?
Because our bodies are built symmetrically for the most part. We have two hands and we have two feet. But we live an extremely asymmetrical life. And I'll explain what I mean by that. We are left hand or right hand dominant. Most of the tasks that we do on a daily basis are asymmetrical, and that creates asymmetrical twist and torque and stress to the spine. So like I was saying just earlier, most of our patients that we see aren't those who have had a major injury or a fall. It's the occupational or postural stress that develops because of a day long of asymmetry that we apply our bodies to.
That's very interesting, and I like that. What did you call it? The 90 degree principle?
Well, there's the 90 degree principle and asymmetry and asymmetry.
Yes, and I can relate to the asymmetrical aspect of being an athlete because, as you say, most athletes and people in their day-to-day lives use one side of their body more predominantly than the other. So, like, for example, if you're a soccer player or a hockey player or a golf player, usually if you're right or left-handed, you're using that side or favoring that side more so than the other.
Absolutely. And if you had a car and that car drove, turned to the left 75% of the time and turned to the right 25% of the time, what type of wear and tear do you think would be on the side used more frequently? And that's why one of the first things I do with any patient is a postural examination. And I'll look at that patient's shoulder levels and hip levels and very commonly notice that one hip or one shoulder is higher than the other. That's a pure example of asymmetry or stress to the spine, and it's a good indicator that that patient may need treatment.
That's a great example. Now, you call Highcroft a family chiropractic counseling and massage clinic, so you're doing more than just straight chiropractic work there.
We have a team of two massage therapists and two clinical counselors. I'm the chiropractor there currently. We have a team that works together, and we look at the body as mind, body, and soul. And I have a specialty. My specialty is the spine and the nervous system. The massage therapists specialize in soft tissue work, and the counselors specialize in cognition and working with patients who are having some of the stresses from a mind standpoint.
Now, what about these Dr. Michael events that I've heard so much about?
Well, I moved to Vancouver pretty much 3 years ago, and when anybody moves to a new city or when anybody opens up a new practice or a new business, it's really important to network yourself and to meet people, because the more people that know you and the more people that like you will trust you and decide to use your services. And Dr. Michael Events is a second passion of mine, and it really revolves around networking and meeting people, meeting friends, and surrounding yourself with good people. So some of the events that I've done in 2003 include the Highcroft Health Education Series, where I've invited a number of different health practitioners in the community into my office to do a talk for patients and for people in the area. We do a monthly social networking martini party, and I throw the odd dance and schmooze party.
Those are a lot of fun, I guess, huh?
You have to live it to believe it.
So that's really neat because, you know, medical care is often quite a serious thing and people don't equate that with having a good time and partying, but you're bringing the two together, and why not? It sounds like a great time.
I lost my lab coat the day I graduated from school. Chiropractic should be and can be fun, okay? Because we're helping people reach higher levels of potential by freeing up their mobility and flexibility to their spine and helping them achieve their goals and desires.
That's wonderful. That's super. Now, I know that many chiropractors, including yourself, integrate nutrition advice in their practice. What are some of the most important nutrition principles that you stress or promote?
Well, the important thing, I think, is that we're here, most of us are here not just to survive, we want to thrive. And so if that's the goal, is to reach higher levels, it's really important to fuel the body and put the right things into the body so that it can reach higher levels. So to most of my patients, I recommend a good base to start from is a good, strong multivitamin. I also recommend to add some additional antioxidants, particularly vitamin A, C, E, and selenium, and anything green, because we're walking around being very acidic and don't have as much alkalinity in our systems as we need and as we should in order to thrive.
Now, what about just food itself? Do you see degradation of the spine and damage in the body as a direct result of how people are eating?
Absolutely. When somebody injures themselves, the ability to heal is very dependent on what you put in your body. And when you're putting the wrong fats in the body or you're putting sugars into the body, it negatively affects how quick collagen resynthesis is able to occur. And it certainly reduces the time in which somebody is able to recover from injury.
Now, I've been to seminars presented by chiropractors who specialize in different methods of treatment, one of which is enzyme treatment. What's your take on using enzymes to, say, reduce inflammation? Or do you have any other sort of special concoctions or preferences that you advocate for say, treating a condition?
I do. I call it the joint triad because a lot of patients that come in have some form of arthritis or aches of their joints. And the joint triad that I recommend is one part glucosamine sulfate, which helps to rebuild joint cartilage. Second part of MSM, which helps to focus on scar tissue to soft tissues such as ligaments and tendons. And EFAs, or essential fatty acids, such as flaxseed oil or salmon oil. These oils are essential because they are anti-inflammatory in the proper dosage, and they also help to lubricate the joints, which is essential for mobility.
That's an excellent idea, that joint triad. So that's something that a retailer in, say, a health food store could even memorize and think when they're talking to a person on the floor, or even a sales rep who's selling supplements to the retailers. They could sort of think in those terms and make sure that you've got those products covered.
There's a number of different pain-sensitive tissues, and sometimes the cause is reduced joint cartilage, sometimes it's scar tissue to the soft tissues, and sometimes it's reduced lubrication of the joints. This joint triad helps to approach any particular problem from a number of different angles.
Now let's get into the athletic model. I love the impact that chiropractic medicine has in terms of prevention of injuries and treatment of injuries, but let's face it, most athletes have never even been to a chiropractor and don't necessarily understand what value chiropractors offer in terms of the numbers of athletes that actually exist. So what advice do you have for someone who's never been to a chiropractor, but they're playing sports and maybe they even have an injury?
Well, the human body is like a machine that requires the right fuel, the right mechanics, the proper amount of rest and recovery, and efficiency in movement. Chiropractic is all about posture, range of motion, flexibility, balance, strength, and mechanics. Like I was saying a little earlier, you can take a car and you can drive it from Vancouver to Mexico. That's a lot of mileage on that car. That's a lot of exercise. But if that car has never had an oil change, a tune-up, or tire rotation, that's what I consider to be stressful exercise. So we have a body, and the body will move with efficiency when it has the flexibility that comes from the spine. So whether it comes to trying to improve performance or prevent injury, chiropractic can help the athlete in improved mechanics and improve flexibility to the spine and allowing better balance and flow of the nervous system to the muscles.
Now, let's say I'm in the gym and I'm doing some heavy curls and I'm cheating and I throw my back out, okay? Or let's say I'm doing some pull downs behind the neck and all of a sudden, I get a kink in my neck and I feel like I can't move my neck. Is this person, you know, almost by the nature of the injury, designed for a chiropractor?
Well, one great thing about chiropractic care is that, or education, is that our training puts us in a position to be able to diagnose. And that's why we're able to call ourselves doctors of chiropractic. Initial exam with a chiropractor will be focused on finding the cause and the diagnosis of any particular condition. And in some cases, that condition may not be a chiropractic case. the chiropractor may refer that patient to their medical doctor, to a physiotherapist, to a massage therapist, or maybe to a personal trainer to have the improved mechanics or improved technique in the gym so that the injury doesn't continue. Until you have an appropriate diagnosis as to why something is the way it is, you don't really know where to go from there.
Now, if I've got an injury as an athlete and I go into your office, what is the process? What can I expect that you're going to do to me?
All patients, we start with a consultation. The more I know about a patient and their previous history in terms of what their body has been through, the more awareness and understanding I have. We then go through an examination. An examination starts with a postural evaluation, first looking at the arches of the feet, making sure that there's good arch support, looking at the levels of the hips and the shoulders, so a postural evaluation, range of motion flexibility testing, strength and reflex testing, and an evaluation to see whether a patient has a scoliosis. Anyone who has a spine should know whether they have a scoliosis. A scoliosis is a lateral deviation of the spine, and it's particularly important to know where the stresses in the spine are, and that's what the exam is tailored to do.
And they're eventually going to be facing down on one of your special tables, right? And they're going to be crunched or snapped, or, I mean, you know how people sort of refer to that process. What are you actually doing when you're crunching those bones?
Okay. There's a lot of myths and misconceptions with chiropractic, and perhaps one thing that keeps people away from our offices is the fear or the concern that someone's going to crunch or crack somebody. So it's really important for me to let everybody know that when we do what's called a chiropractic adjustment, it's a procedure done with our hands, what's happening is we're realigning or moving the one vertebrae relative to another, and often what'll happen is you'll have the release of gas, specifically carbon dioxide, from the joints. So there's nothing that's actually crunching or cracking. It's purely the release of gas from
the joint. That's what causes the sound.
That's what causes the sound. It's as if you're opening up a bottle of champagne or Coca-Cola. The release of gas creates a whoosh sound.
Like when you pull your fingers and there's a snap between your knuckles.
So nothing cracks. All that is the release of gas from the joints.
So when you turn someone's head or neck or manipulate their spine, they make those kinds of sounds. There's no bone cracking or crunching.
Absolutely not.
Now, what do you say to somebody who goes for a visit and has a bad experience from their point of view, being that they're worse instead of better? They somehow have a pain in their back that they never had before. How do you explain that?
Well, often when I see a patient who's never seen a chiropractor, and we make an adjustment to their spine, we're moving things that haven't moved in quite a long time. So in trying to get to the source or the cause of someone's discomfort, we need to layer off the onion, if you will, a bit. And sometimes in doing so, you're awakening some subconscious stresses. Now, the important thing is to let your patients know right from the beginning and educate them about the potential for minor aches. But I find in my practice that it's rarely the case where people will have long-term discomfort. It's usually short-term aches and pains. For example, like after working out, often a day or two after, you've got some aches and some pains. But that's normal process of working out, and it's sometimes a normal process of healing and getting to higher levels of health.
So sometimes you've got to get worse, relatively speaking, before you get better.
Sometimes that's the case, but I find that it's not the majority of the cases.
So the majority of the cases, you see an improvement and people moving forward.
The second visit, I always ask a patient, so how do you, if you could give me a percentage level of how you're feeling or what type of improvement, and I'm often hearing 25 to 50% after just the first visit. And I try to caution the patient to realize that sometimes the first few visits are where we get the most progress, but then it's the next number of visits where the hard part is, where we need to train or re-coordinate the spine on how it has to move. Remember that the way we develop our posture, it takes years and often years of neglect before people ever do anything about their bodies. So when they come to see me, it's certainly not a one or two visit deal that's going to help remove pain that may be there for 5 or 10 years.
Now, that raises another interesting idea or thought, and that is chiropractic medicine for children. I know that even babies can come in for a visit. What are your thoughts about chiropractic for children?
Corey, what could be more traumatic than the birth process? Imagine how many times an infant falls in the process of learning to crawl, learning to walk, or learning to run. imagine how an adult would feel if their bodies went through the same types of tumbles. So whether you're 2 years old or 82 years old, if you have a spine, it should at the very least be looked at to see whether there's any misalignment. One thing about infants and children is they don't have the ability to communicate pain or discomfort the way adults do, or at least it may not be as clear. So again, getting away with the idea of pain, anyone who has a spine, just like anyone who has teeth, should have that spine or those teeth looked at. The type of work we do with children is certainly a lot different than what we do with adults. The types of adjustments are much more subtle. But when someone has an area of the spine that's out of alignment, it's extremely important that that's looked at. And there's a saying, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. And I can't imagine a time more important to have your spine looked at than during rapid growth spurts, such as in the adolescent years, teenage years, when if someone has a scoliosis, that's the time to have it addressed. Because very little can be done to a spine that's reached skeletal maturity. When someone's 30, 40 years old, there's very little that can be done to a scoliosis. When someone's 5, 10, or 15 years old, this is the time to make an effect.
Now, what about people who don't believe in chiropractic medicine? I'm sure you come across those. I can think of an individual in particular who definitely thinks that chiropractic medicine is a waste of time and money, and yet he's never been to a chiropractor. So what do you account for this attitude?
Well, the good thing about chiropractic is that it's not a religion. And so whether you believe it or not is very irrelevant. It works, and that's the bottom line. Chiropractic is an art, a science, and a philosophy of healthcare. And unfortunately, there's a lot of dogma and a lot of myths and misconceptions, and people often make opinions of a particular field, such as chiropractic, without having the awareness, the education of what we're all about.
Yeah, that's well said. Now, you're a member of the expert advisory panel that I selected to help me edit the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program. I know that you're committed to education. It's obvious based on knowing what you're doing at Highcroft. What advice do you have for anyone thinking about enrolling in the CSNA program? Because you've been through it, you've seen the material. What's your advice?
First of all, it was an honor to be selected onto the expert advisory panel. And I've been a big fan of Corey Hawley for several years now. While training in Toronto, I followed your work and was impressed with your ability to communicate important ideas about health and sports nutrition to others. There's nothing more powerful than the power of knowledge. The CSNA program is packed with information on a variety of topics that can only enhance your individual awareness and ability to inform and educate others. I found your presentation to be motivational, inspirational, educational, and most importantly, fun. So I've been affected directly by your work and your attitude, and I would highly recommend enrollment to anyone who is thirsty for knowledge.
That's great, Michael. I'll make sure that you get your deposit in the bank by next Thursday.
Thank you very much.
Now, listen, I can't believe our time is gone, and it's been great having you on the show. I know that you've got a lot of information and that there are people locally that will definitely want to see you. How can people and how can our listeners contact you or get more information about Highcroft Family Chiropractic and your special events?
Our office is located on Granville and 16th Avenue in Vancouver. You can reach us either by phone, 604-733-7744, or you can reach me personally by email, drmichael16@hotmail.com.
And you've got a couple of websites I know that some of our listeners can go to?
I've been dreaming about these websites for years and finally have been able to get them into motion. The first one is www.spinetime16.com. By the way, 16 is a lucky number. And the other one is www.drmichaelevents.com. And I'm really proud of them, and I hope that everyone has a chance to take a look at them.
Yeah, I was going through them the other day. They're very nicely presented, and there's some very good information there. Well, Michael, thanks again. And just before you go, would you mind sharing a word or two of inspiration for our listeners?
I sure would love to. And this is from Thomas Edison. And he says, "The doctor of the future will prescribe no medicine, but will interest his patient in the care of the human frame and in the cause and prevention of sickness and disease."
Again, Michael, thanks very much for being on the show, and we'll definitely have you back in the future.
Thank you.
Take care.
concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview. SNU is produced monthly and is a division of Holly Health Services located in Burnaby, British Columbia. For details regarding subscription, please visit CoreyHolly.com or call us toll-free at 1-866-922-2229. This is Lisa Holly, wishing you the very best of health and wellness for life.
Represent your lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.